Deuteronomy chapter 30 now, and this will be verse number 11. And a little bit of reading here, finished out the chapter there through verse number 20. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter number 30, "For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth, in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou goest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." Let's pray. Father, we're thankful now for the word of God, and I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit of God that can put in my mouth the words that you once said. And God, I'm but a spokesman, no more, no less. And God, I pray that you'd give me the utterance that I need, the voice that I need to make it tonight. I pray, God, you give me the heart that I need to somehow or another steer somebody aright. And I pray, Lord, that this message that seems so to me, God, that you'd make it more than that. And I pray, God, that somewhere in this message, everybody here would get something that they need, something that'll carry a long ways out the road, do them some good and not hurt. God, help me as I preach. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage here in Deuteronomy chapter number 30. Thank you, Josiah. Try that. In Deuteronomy chapter number 30, he sort of says in effect that you have got a choice to make. And he says, in effect, that I'm doing everything but make the choice for you. I'm even telling you how to make the choice. And it's as though that I can't actually make the choice for you, speaking to Israel, of course, as a nation. But you and I, we apply it to ourselves. We're God's chosen in the beloved, just like the nation of Israel is God's chosen people. And he says, I wish I could do it for you. I've just put everything out before you, dished her out there right on the plate. Anybody could see what the right move would be, the right thing would be, and there really isn't any excuse not to make the right choice in this life and pertaining to life itself. It's as though that, you know, people always making excuses, do what they want to do. My mom and I, we were sort of surprised at the crowd we had this morning. She said, I can't believe you had so many that come from so far. I said, Mom, they're just going to do what they want to do anyhow. They're going to make it if they want to make it, And that was real good. That was an encouragement to my heart to see a crowd like we had this morning. I was looking at about 50 to 70 as far as my outlook before I came in. We had, I guess, a regular crowd. I don't know what it was, but it was probably 100 or upwards of 100 and whatever. It was a good crowd this morning, and I'm glad about that. And you know, in the passage here, it's as though the Lord tells them to do something, and he said, you really don't have any excuse. You can say it's hidden from you and far off, but that's not going to work. You can say it's in heaven and too far away and never know really what to do. And he said, that won't work. I don't buy it. In verse number 13 there, he says, you can say we got to go over the sea to find out what to do and bring it unto us. We may hear it and do it. And he said, I don't buy that either. So you can just keep on piling on any way you want to make excuses. And he said, I'm just not going to buy it. And it's as though that choices that have to be made, and this choice right here is, it's right there before you. He said, the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth. I've done everything but do it for you. near to you, very near to you. In your mouth, I put the words in your mouth. I've dealt with your heart. Now I want you to act on it. It's that kind of thing. It's as though that anybody that's got even a fraction of, not brains, that don't count, sense. Anybody that's got even a fraction of, and call it even a little bit of horse sense, a little bit. I know Yankees aren't too good about that, but a little bit I'd do the job. It's as though the Lord dished her out there, and anybody with an ounce of sense ought to be able to make the right choice. And we're even told how to choose. In verse number 19, he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose. And he tells you what to choose. Choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. And it's kind of as though that if you don't, it's going to be a costly thing. If you don't live your life God's way and according to the precepts and the statutes of the Word of God, I wouldn't want God to denounce me. I wouldn't want God to put it all over me and say, you're going to perish, friend. You're going to go down. You're going to hit the bricks. I wouldn't want God to do that. I denounce unto you this day, that'd be an awful thing, man. That's a high cost. And that's not what the Lord wants. That's certainly not what he wants at all. I wouldn't want to pay a price like that. But, you know, if a person can't make the right choice under these conditions, there's the problems identified. In verse number 17, your heart has turned away from God. The problems identified over and over, as a matter of fact. Look at verse number 2. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 2, notice the end of the verse. What God tells you to do, he wants you to do with all your heart, with all your soul. In verse number 6, even notice there again, Lord, do a job. But you got to love the Lord with all your heart. God wants you to do that. In verse number 10, he talks about it again. Thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul. And if somebody don't make the right choice, if they go off the deep end, if they go the wrong way, it's going to cost them. It'll cost them more than they ever dreamed of. It'll be a high cost. And it won't be dollars. It'll be something far more valuable than that. And God wants you to make the right choice. He wants me to make the right choice at all times. Choose life, not death. Choose blessing, God's blessing. Get yourself in a position where you'll be like Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 28, man, I've been overtaken with blessings. God, you just poured it out. God, you dumped it out. Lord, man, I'm overtaken. I'm absolutely overwhelmed with the blessings of God. That's what you want. You don't want cursing. You don't want God to denounce you. You want God to announce there's somebody that's got a heart for me and a heart for the Word of God. You don't want to go the other way. And in verse number 19, it's like one more time with feeling now. We're dealing with life and what life is all about, what your life will be all about. He said, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Again, look at verse number 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. In verse number 16, he talks about living, that thou mayest live and multiply. In verse number 20, the Bible says, for he is thy life, and goes on, says some other things. Then you can understand from all that you read about life. There's a certain kind of life that God wants you to live and wants me to live. And you make choice. You either choose to do what you want to do, be led astray by other gods of sort, whatever they may be identified as, or you make choice to go God's way, do it God's way, strictly God's way, and let God come through for you and God pour out his blessings upon you. You can see the context here deals with life, and I'm going to talk to you about life tonight. I'm going to talk to you about life that only the Lord can give. Bible says in verse number 20, the Bible says, for he is thy life. You know, it's God who gives physical life. It's God who gives everlasting life. The Bible says he is thy life. There's the Old Testament Jew. And even the Old Testament Jew, Lord dumps that thing right out before them. So that whenever you get to the Lord Jesus Christ, they shouldn't have any problem with it. They see that little word there, he. What's he talking about? He is thy life. And you think by the time the Lord Jesus Christ showed up, man, there he is. There's the life. I mean, man, he's set before you. There's eternal. There's the true God and eternal life. There he is. You think they wouldn't have any problem with it, but they seem like, man, they have got the blinders on. Believe me, they've got it on. You know why? They made wrong choice. And you know, the Bible says here that the Lord, he's everything to us. When it comes to life, it's the Lord. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 12, it said, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that simple. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Bible says in John chapter number 17, this is the true God and eternal life. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 20. The Bible says this is the true God and eternal life. And to know him aright, is life eternal for you and for I. But you know, not just eternal life, and that's great. When I say just, I'm not belittling that. That is major. That is most important of all. To have the life of God in you so that on to glory you go one day. The angels carry you on to glory when this life is over. But you know what? Alongside of that, the Bible speaks about everlasting life and everlasting love. And I want to have, and of course you have, as well as I, those that are saved, you have eternal life and everlasting life and everlasting love. You've got somebody. You're his. You're his forevermore. Nothing will ever change that. He'll love you and love you forever. You take the nation of Israel, they go astray, far astray, badly astray, and yet he says, I have loved them with an everlasting love in Jeremiah chapter 31. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 33 here, the Bible speaks about the everlasting arms. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Comes a time in your life when you need the everlasting arms of God wrapped around you, squeeze on you. You need to have the Lord you can depend upon through this life and then on to glory to spend eternity with the one that has given to you life and death, and all things are wrapped up in him, given to you and I eternal life. What a wonderful thing to have a life lived that lived with the Lord. Know that all you do is pass on to eternity and be with the Lord forevermore. Have a life that you and I can live and know that eternity is covered. Have a life to live that knowing that you and I will never be without his love. Have a life to live knowing that when the need is there, and the need does come at times, when the need is there, there are still the everlasting arms, the days of your life. You say, well, you know, I like to enjoy life. I enjoy life right now. That's good, and I do as well, and I respect, and I honor the life that God gives now, and I appreciate that. I appreciate physical life. I appreciate eternal life probably a little bit more, but physical life, that's to be appreciated. You and I, it's the Lord who gives that to us as well. It's the Lord who keeps you and I stirring. It's the Lord who keeps the heart pumping. It's the Lord that keeps the blood circulating. It's the Lord. It's all the Lord. And if the Lord says it's done, it's over, the candle will go out, and it wouldn't matter if you had 100 doctors around about you. He'll snuff you out like a candle, myself as well. It just takes but a stroke of the hand of God, and the doctors are done, you're done, all done and all in. The Bible says he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Our life on the temporary basis or the physical basis, it depends on the Lord. Our life eternally depends upon the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to know that eternity is covered and know that God's going to love you and he's never going to quit loving you. It's a wonderful thing to know that on the other side, there is heaven on the other side and eternal joy and forevermore. I can't imagine somebody that would not choose life. I mean, it's like the Bible says, I've done everything for you. Man, it's in your mouth, in your heart. The choice is so easy to make, you don't even have to think about it. He is thy life. What a life to know that eternity is covered. And what a life to know that I'll go as far as God keeps me going. I'll go out the road just as far as he puts life in this body. I'll keep it going. I'll keep slugging it out. I'll make it the best I can. I'll try to accomplish at least a little bit for the Lord, as long as he gives me life and breath and all things. That's a choice that a person has to make. They've got to choose the Lord. They've got to choose him as their personal Savior. He is thy life, both eternally and temporal as well. Eternal and temporal as well. Again, in the passage here, when he speaks about making a choice and dealing with life, it's as though that your life and mine has to have an order to it. It's as though that the Bible says in, the illustration is verse number 16, "And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply." Your life, like mine, needs to have some order to it. And that life has to have order in that it starts with the Lord. You and I need to consider before ourselves the Lord. You know how it is? We can get real selfish. We can get real self-centered. We can get real consumed with ourselves. It shouldn't be that way. When I'm looking at verse number 16 there, it ought to be number one, the Lord. You and I ought to be consumed with the Lord. The thoughts of our hearts day after day after day ought to be on the Lord. You shouldn't be able to hardly move without thinking about the Lord. You know, this past week I've had to fight with my mind, because my mind, I couldn't go but a little bit and I'd think of my grandson. And I'd go a little bit further and I'd think about him. You know, the only way for me to overcome that is to consume myself with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to be consumed with the Lord. And in the passage here, it's as though the order has got to be right. It's not as though that he's gone. Now I'm done. I've done all I can. I'm goodbye. I can't go any further. It's not that at all. It's as though, number one, it's got to be the Lord. And after that comes whatever else, your family as well as mine. But it's not as though others go before the Lord. There's got to be an order in your life. Now, I look in the passage here and I think to myself, if your life has the right order, if your home has the right order, there's got to be order in your home. It's not the wife runs the place. It's as though she takes her place of subjection, allows the husband to run it, pushes him in the right direction. If she's got to give him a shove, then she gives him a shove. But she allows him to rule the roost and run the house, the household. It's got to be that way. Likewise in your life, it's got to be the Lord. He's got to be first. Your life, instead of being selfish, needs to be sacrificial. And it will be either or. It'll be, you'll either live your life with the Lord in mind, sacrificing yourself, stretching yourself, don't really care that much about yourself, whatever you can do is fine, go as far. It'll be their sacrificial life, or it'll be a self-centered and a selfish life. Tonight, you know which it is at this point. If your life has been a selfish life, then I would exhort you and encourage you to turn it around. I would exhort you and encourage you to choose life, and I would encourage you, my friend, to choose a sacrificial life. The Bible says you and I are supposed to present our bodies unto him a living sacrifice. That ought to be true of you and I. We love the Lord. Everything else gets in line after that. The Bible says walk in his ways, no problem. The Bible says keep his commandments, no problem. If you love the Lord, if you love the Lord like you should, then the sacrificial life is very, very easy. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14, verse number 21, "If you love me, then keep my commandments." And it's as though it's just automatic. No problem with it. You're not going to argue about it. You're not going to say, I'll do what I want to do. I'll choose out what I want. I'll pick out the ones I want. The rest of them, it really doesn't matter. I'm just going to go my way here and there. And once in a while, I'll get back on track. I'm not going to do that at all. If you love the Lord like I love the Lord, then the Lord comes first. And everything else, yourself as well, comes after. Pitiful thing when you see the child of God living a selfish life. And it's as though their will is number one. Kind of like the devil, you know, Lucifer in Isaiah chapter 14. He had a will, very strong-willed. And would no turn him around, because he just determined, I will. I will and I will. There was just no stopping him. Even though Lord, even though he had advantage, Lord did everything could try to stop. You know there are people like that. There are people like that. They're just strong-willed. Their nature is strong. And they're stubborn. And they have a will. And it may be this or that, but it's self, any way you identify it, it's self-centered will. You don't want that? I don't. But you know what? The order of your life is either going to be selfish or sacrificial. Tonight, where is it? I know where it is. I know where it should be. And as far as I can see, there's really no excuse. I know what God would ask of you and would ask of me, and there's no excuse for us to go any other way. It's just that simple. You measured up tonight. I'll check myself out. You check yourself out. Choose. Choose. The choice is yours. It'll either be going through life with only yourself in mind, only your desires in mind, only your will that counts, or it'll be God's will, not mine, but the will of God, number one in my life. Choice is yours. God's not going to force you to do what he tells you what to do. He advises you the choice you should make. You've got to choose, make that choice. As I think of this passage here, I think as well, and I like this part here, it's a matter of choosing life and loving it. In verse number 19, he says here, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. You know, your life can be a blessing or a curse. If you're a blessing to the Lord, you're going to be a blessing to others. If you're a blessing to others, you'll be a blessing to your family. If you're a blessing to your family and others as well, and to the Lord as well, you'll be a blessing to yourself. And if you're not a blessing to anybody but a curse, you won't even want to see the sunrise. You'll be like the party that told me that everybody I get around seem like as though that they got problems. Seem like that every person I'm around, I hurt them. I do damage to them. And felt as though they need to go see a psychologist because, man, I don't know why, but everybody around me seemed like they get hurt. That's not what you want. You want to be a blessing. You want to be somebody that proves to be fruitful and quite the blessing to others. And if you do that, then you will love life. You not only will live and breathe God's air, but you'll love the days of your life. You will love Mondays. They won't be blue Mondays. You'll love Mondays as well. Perhaps a chance to witness. At least be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll love Tuesdays. Chance to speak for the Lord. Tuesday evening may be a chance. Wednesday, you'll love every day because those days are centered around the Lord. And your life can be a blessing and you'll love life. I like the passage back in 1 Peter chapter 3, and it's about verse number 10. I don't just want to live. You know, there are people that live and maybe you've known them for 20 years or 30 years and you never can talk to them without they're upset. They just live, move, and breathe. Their days are spent. They're always upset. They're always bothered. They're always troubled. And I'm not saying there are not troubles out there, but I'm saying that you and I have the opportunity to live and to love life. If that's your opportunity, you want to cash in on that, that'd be the route to go. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. You're going to get one. God's going to bless your heart. God's going to bless your soul. God's going to bless your home. And you're on to glory eventually. So you're supposed to be a blessing, not a curse. Maybe they curse you, but you don't retaliate. A blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. God knows what's going on. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. If you're a blessing to others, you'll be a blessing to yourself. You will love life. You won't be like somebody who despises the day wherein they were born, such as Job. Cursed be the day that I was born. The day that you were born, that thing comes around year after year, that'll be a happy birthday for you. It won't be where you feel as though that, man, I wish to God I never would have seen the daylight. One time a fellow, he was complaining, I didn't ask to be born. I said, you didn't ask to be born, you didn't ask to be brought into this world, but how you go out, you got the choice right there. The fact remains you came into this world, and ever after the choice is yours. You know, there are people like that, that they live miserable lives, miserable existences all the days of their life. And you and I, we've got a chance to be a blessing. And the Bible says, choose life and choose blessing, don't be a curse. If I'm going to love life, then I'm going to be somebody, God sends something my way, I'm going to enjoy it. The Bible says that who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. God's blessed your home like mine. Most of y'all, you've got an abundance. Most of you have more than what you need. When you come to need, we have far surpassed that. The need is long ago. And yet, you and I need to be people that enjoy the blessings of God. Love life. Enjoy what God has given to you. It may not be on a monetary basis. May not be a material thing. It may be just a quiver full of children. It may be otherwise, but you and I need to love life and enjoy the blessings of God that have come our way. In verse number 15, the Bible says, I've set before you this day life and good, death and evil. You and I want life and good, not bad, not evil. That's what you want. Pitiful when you see people that get in a backslidden condition and they just hate life. Pitiful when you see somebody that has trouble just even trying to make it because God has blessed somebody else and they're upset because the blessings of God have come somebody's way. It'd be like Jonah in Jonah chapter 4. God takes the people and gets turned around with a definite, absolute, repentant heart. And God removes the curse from them and the blessing is theirs. And Jonah himself, you think he'd have shouted down, man, I can't believe what God has done. Praise God. Glory to God forevermore. But he gets upset because the blessings come on somebody else. Pitiful when you see somebody like Elijah who had the power of God. And Elijah one day gets under the juniper tree and he just gets boo-hoo and feeling sorry for himself. Absolutely weary in well-doing. You know, it's one thing to take a Bible approach to this world, which would be like we sing the song, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. It would be like Paul says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom I am crucified unto the world, and this world is crucified unto me. It is as though that I no longer look at it like I once did. Those lights out there have dimmed way down. I'm not looking at, they don't look at me the same, and I don't look at the world like I once did. That would be the approach. But in the meantime, while we're here, there's no sense being miserable. And there's no sense living your life tore up and hating life. You and I look at it for what it's worth. Thank God for the opportunity we have. Thank God for the blessings. And you and I can live our lives and love life. That's the privilege that we have, and the choice is yours, my friend. God's done everything but make it for you. He said, here's how you do it. You do it this way, it'll work, it'll be life and blessing, and that's what I'm looking for, but you've got to do it God's way. In Psalm 16, he talks about the path of life. In verse number 11, thou wilt show me the path of life, and the path of life he does show you and I. In thy presence, live your life in the presence of God, and then on to glory forevermore, still in the presence of God. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore, and you and I can at least get a very strong foretaste of that now in this time, and then on to glory. We make choice, and this is what life is all about. Life is about the Lord, living with the Lord, with heaven to follow. Life is that which has an order to it, with the Lord having first place, a sacrificial life. Life is the blessings, you being a blessing, and the blessings of God coming your way, and you as a result loving life and loving the blessings of God. It has to do with a life that is lovely. And this has to do with either reaping or weeping. In verse number 19, he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And he goes on and says, therefore choose life, and then look what follows. He's looking at something that will be a blessing to thou, not only both thou, but thy seed, that thy seed may live. And that's what you and I want. We're concerned about our seed. We're concerned about those that follow us. We're concerned about their well-being. And that's what you and I would like to reap. If we have a choice, that's our desire. We have a choice personally. We have a choice whereby the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And the Bible says you reap to the flesh and you reap corruption. You don't want that. That'd be on the weeping side of things. You would rather have, the Bible says, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And that's what you want. That's what I want. I've got it. It's mine. The Lord's on the inside. All right, you've got that, but you want to reap the best that God has for you. You want to get out the road somewhere and you don't just want to have everlasting life, but you want to reap what can be yours. And you want to reap everlasting life. And it's going to be lovely life. And it'll be a life that'll be either reaping the right kind of thing or it'll be weeping when you get out there and everybody reaps ultimately. And it'll be weeping on your side if you don't do it right. Thou and thy seed. By contrast, the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse number 5, you have the children reaping the sins of the fathers. That is a specific sin there. And they reap the sin of their fathers unto the third, unto the fourth generation. You would not want that. I would not want that. You would want the best for your children, as would I. And the Bible says, thou and thy seed may live. What you want's a lovely life whereby God's blessings are on your life individually. And God's blessings then seem like as though they overflow and the cup runs over and seem like as though the honey drips everywhere and there's just enough for your seed as well. That's what you want. Mercy, abundance of mercy. Exodus chapter number 20. You don't want reaping for them. You see your children reap sins perhaps that maybe you have sown and down the road somewhere. I'll guarantee it's not what you're looking for. I look in the passage here and verse number 20, the Bible speaks about dwelling. End of the verse there, dwell in the land which the Lord swear unto, that's the promised land. He swear unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to give them. What you and I want, we want reaping. We want the right kind. Dwell in the land. For your seed, you want that. Again, verse number 16, he talks about multiplying, that thou mayest live and multiply. That's the right kind of reaping, dwelling in the land, multiplying the blessings of God everywhere. That's a life that is lovely. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 5, likewise, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. He will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. That's what you want. You want God's blessings everywhere. Just more and more, where the Bible calls it, multiply thee above thy fathers. In verse number 9, and the Lord thy God, you talk about a lovely life. I'm saying it's reaping or weeping, and you want to reap the right kind of thing. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand. I want that, so do you. In the fruit of thy body, I want that, so do you. In the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good as he rejoiced over thy fathers. You know what you're looking at? You're looking at a life that's lovely alongside of what? Psalm 37, where they're cut off right now. Psalm 73, where they prosper, but they don't do it right. They apparently get by for a little while. Next thing you know, right now, cut off, right now, they're done for. It'll be like verse number 18, where they just perish right out of the land. They're gone, it's goodbye, and instead of multiplying and being fruitful, just a barren, worthless waste of a life. You have a choice, my friend. Your life can be a lovely life, a life that's a blessing to you and to yours. You've got a choice. You've got to make the right choice and the right decisions. It's as though the Lord says, I've told you what to do. I've just about done it for you. I've gone as far as I could. We're right down to the wire now where the choice is yours, and you want to have a lovely life, then you've got to make the right choice. Last of all, I want to talk to you about long life. In verse number 20, the Bible says, He is thy life and the length of thy days. It's as though the Lord seems to promise you and I even a respectable length of time if we do things His way. It seems as though that our lives, if they're lived in harmony with the Word of God, it seems like as though that the function of our body seems to do much better. It seems as though that whenever someone lives their life the way God would want you or I to live our lives, it seems like as though that God keeps us going further out the road. A friend of mine told me one time, he says, it seems like the ones that are doing, and he said this in relation to my father-in-law, who at 84 was still going the street corner and attempting to preach on the street at 84 and going canvassing every Saturday afternoon with us. And he made the statement, he says, it seems like the ones that want to keep going, God just keeps them going. Somewhere or another, God seems to keep them going. And kind of a promise there that if you do things right, God, generally speaking, and not to say you could not be hit and hit hard with the sickness, but just to say that the general truth would be that there would be length of days even to your life. Jacob got out there 130 years in Genesis chapter number 47, and he said, I haven't made it quite as far as my fathers, but don't forget, they were on the other side of the flood, major climatic change, and now he's reduced back to 130 years. I was reading about Moses, and Moses, he wrapped it up, and he nearly made the 130, he made 120. I read about Joshua this afternoon, and Joshua was at 110. That's some pretty fancy life as far as I'm concerned, 110, 120, 130. That has to do with the Lord. Understanding, you and I, 70 by the average lifetime under the conditions that you and I have. But you know, the Bible says He is the length of thy life and the length of thy days. You and I, if we have a choice, that's what you want. Bruce Cummins made a statement one time, and his statement was that I'm going to live long. And you say, well, that's kind of a wild statement. And that's pretty well stretching the matter. But the general truth is, his point of contention was this. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What's the promise? That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. He's up to 70 now. I understand his health is reasonably good. It may be very good, maybe better than what mine is, but that was his promise. And it just primarily, the same thing you read here in Deuteronomy chapter 30 here, that if you do things right according to statutes and precepts and judgments of the Word of God, if you pass judgment according to God's judgment, then there's a good chance and a general truth that comes into play, and that is that it will lengthen your days. And if you don't, and all I've done to you is draw contrast tonight. I've talked to you about reaping or weeping. I've talked to you about eternal life, a little bit about temporal life. I've talked to you about sacrificial life or a selfish life. I've talked to you about blessing or curse, as far as your life is concerned. And I'll talk to you about length of days or long life or so long. So long oolong is a statement that my friend Jack uses. You hit one man and baby, away it goes, and it's, you know, out in the woods somewhere, so long oolong. That's, oh, goodbye, man, it's gone. And of course, that's not what you want. You want to live out your days, full of days, and make it as far as God has for you to go. Realize that until the Lord says it's over, it's not over. You keep it going, and you realize that, brother, if I don't toe the line, I may go out before my time. And you wouldn't want to go out like they do in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 5. The sin has been a horrible sin, a horrendous sin that you and I can't even fathom. You can't even imagine somebody going, that's what you call far below the bottom. You cannot imagine it. But sometimes on occasion it happens. It happened there. And the Bible says the Lord delivered him to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Rather than long life, it's so long, oolong. You don't want that, nor do I. Tonight I've talked to you in an area of what life is all about. From what I can see, there just is no way that you can beat a life lived with the Lord at the top of the list, with the Lord in mind, and a life that is lived that pleases Him. And if your life pleases the Father, the Heavenly Father, you will please Him, and He'll be a blessing to you, and you will be a blessing to others. And He says, you have got to make the choice, and there is no excuse. You either choose to go God's way or your way. Go God's way. Bob Jones Sr. said, if a man has to live somewhere forever, then he, and you do, he'd better learn how to live. And God tells you how to live. God tells you the choices that need to be made. God tells you, therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. If I could choose for you, having been saved just about 35 years, do you know I wouldn't even have to pause? If I had to make right choice for you, there ain't a computer could keep up with the time it'd take me to make that choice. One time Irv and I were talking, and he said, you know, I'm different than what Harold is. And I thought, well, I don't know about that. And he explained the area he was talking about. He said, I can get some things done, but he says, I've got to sort of think it through and finally get out to the conclusion. He said, you talk to Harold about something, and he's right there at the conclusion. And you know, sometimes there are people that way. They can think very quickly, and they've got the bottom line right there in this area. I'm not fast on the draw. I sort of weigh it out and study it a while, and I try to make decisions that are sensible, having thought things through. But in this area here, I can guarantee you, you do what God tells you to do, and you won't be sorry. You can go, and I can move right to the conclusion right now when God said, choose life, life and good, against blessing and curse, death and evil, blessing and cursing. I mean, the choices, I mean, it's automatic. It's there, and there's no excuse. But you have got to make the choice. I've talked to you what life is all about. You want to love life, and I do. You want a lovely life, and I do. You want a long life, and I do. Then you've got to make the right choice pertaining to the Lord and the Word of God. What's your choice? Say, I made it. Good. If you haven't, you better make it, and you better learn to make the right choices now in your life, and even tonight. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful again for the Word of God. And Lord, we all come to the crossroads in life. And God, there's the parting of the ways for each and every one. And Lord, I pray that when we come up to that crossroad or parting of the ways, we'd pause only long enough to determine which road you would want us on. Never think twice, move the right direction. God, deal with the hearts of your people. Deal with the hearts of every young person here tonight. God, show them they'll be a blessing or a curse. Their life will prove to be a blessing or a curse to themselves, to everybody connected with them. May they make the right choice tonight and always. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.